on which you and she have agreed. When viewed through this lens, her style, no matter how sensible it might seem to her, really does not apply. Of course, a misfocus on steps, rather than outcomes, may not be the problem. She may be forcing you to do things her way because she likes the feeling of power and control. If you can adapt to her style without compromising your integrity, fine. Otherwise, you may want to make a move to another job. C. If your manager praises you inappropriately or at inappropriate times, you can suggest alternatives. This isn't always an easy conversation. In fact, telling your manager that you prefer to be praised in private rather than in public can sometimes feel arrogant and presumptuous. Once again, you have to pick your moment. It would probably be neither wise nor sensitive to correct him immediately after he had the whole team stand up and cheer your success. Mark D., the insurance agent from Chapter 5, certainly woke his manager up by storming off the stage, but we wouldn't recommend this approach. Instead, make your comments when you are discussing all aspects of your performance, perhaps during the structured, dispassionate setting of a performance planning meeting. And it wouldn't hurt to thank him for his good intentions. This will show your manager that you have thought carefully about what you need from him and will give him a chance to assimilate what you told him into how he manages you. If the problem is less that he gives you the wrong kind of praise and more that he gives you no praise at all, you will need to survive for as long as possible on your own reserves. If you are a natural self-starter, you may find that you can survive adequately for quite a while without any recognition at all. Most people, though, will soon feel a drain on their energy. Faced with the prospect of an environment without recognition, you may wish to consider a move. D. If your manager constantly asks you questions about how you are doing and feeling, or otherwise intrudes, suggest that you don't find this helpful. It is a delicate matter, because you don't want to seem insubordinate or as if you are his manager, but ask if it would be okay if you check in with him less frequently than he obviously wants to check in with you. Tell him that is no reflection on him. Say that you are hoping to function a little more independently, and that if you can schedule a check-in meeting on your cycle rather than his, then you will probably be able to be a great deal more productive. Obviously, this is a sensitive situation, but if you use unambiguous, unemotional terminology like, "I like to check in every couple of weeks rather than every couple of days," you should be able to come to some practical arrangements that work for both of you. If your manager is intruding because he is suspicious of you, the most unambiguous, unemotional terminology will be of little help. You will have to resort to a different strategy, a move. E. If the problems we have discussed are of an altogether different nature, which is to say, if your manager consistently ignores you, distrusts you, takes credit for your work, blames you for his mistakes, or disrespects you, then get out from under him. You might look for a lateral move or another position in the company, or you might simply leave. Yes, you might decide to stick it out for 6 months in the hope that he will leave. Yes, the generous company benefits might dull your pain enough to make your situation tolerable. Yes, you might be able to find a sympathetic ear with your manager's boss or with the human resources department. But don't fool yourself. If his behavior has been consistent over time, he is not going to change that much. Some managers simply should not be managers. Their misbehavior is not a function of misunderstandings or misdirected good intentions. It is a function of lack of talent, or sometimes neurosis. Lacking the appropriate four-lane highways in their minds, they will forever make poor decisions. They will forever mistrust, overshadow, abandon, intrude, and stifle. They have to. It's in their nature. Neither you nor this book nor weeks of sensitivity training will give them the strengths, the self-esteem, and the security they need to be a great manager. We would like to tell you, don't worry, soldier on, rely on the strength of your own talent and you will still excel. But we cannot. You might be able to survive your predicament for a while in the hope that the manager will prove his own undoing and get fired, but lacking a good manager, you won't be able to last long. As this book has shown, in your struggle to turn all of your talents into performance, your immediate manager is a very important partner. If you are cursed with a truly bad one, then you will never see the best of you. No matter how much you enjoy the job itself, get out fast. You deserve better. Master Keys. What can the company do to create a friendly climate for great managers? We have said that an employee may join a company because of its prestige and reputation, but that his relationship with his immediate manager determines how long he stays and how productive he is while he is there. We have said that the manager is the critical player in turning each employee's talent into performance. We have said that managers trump companies. All this is true. From the employee's perspective, the manager is indeed more influential than the company. However, the company still wields enormous power. By themselves, great managers can offer limited local resistance to conventional wisdom. Only a total company effort can dislodge it completely. In most companies, conventional wisdom remains deeply entrenched. Even though many managers might disagree with some of its central tenets, each person has unlimited potential, help each person overcome his weaknesses, treat others as you would like to be treated, still, these tenets survive. They are held firmly in place by a network of policies, practices, and languages. This network pervades the company, affecting how employees are selected, trained, paid, punished, and promoted. By themselves, great managers can make small advances in the opposite direction, but they can never break all the way through to the other side. No matter which route they try, sooner or later they open a door and find convention standing there with some policy, rule, or system that stops the great manager in his tracks. You can't pay people that way. You can't promote him if he doesn't have more than 3 years of experience. You're not treating every employee the same. That's unfair. Here's our new performance management system. Make sure every employee is trained on every one of these competencies. You can't give her that title. She doesn't have anyone reporting to her. Conventional wisdom is barricaded behind a wall of selection, training, compensation, and performance management systems. The only way to dislodge it completely is to replace these systems, and only the company can replace these systems. Using the four keys as our guide, here are some of the master keys that the senior management of a company can use to break through conventional wisdom's barricades. A. Keep the focus on outcomes. The role of the company is to identify the desired end. The role of the individual is to find the best means possible to achieve that end. Therefore, strong companies become experts in the destination and give the individual the thrill of the journey. As much as possible, define every role using outcome terms. Find a way to rate, rank, or count as many of those outcomes as possible. Measurement always improves performance. The four most important emotional outcomes for a customer are accuracy, availability, partnership, and advice. Examine each role in the company and identify what actually needs to happen to create these outcomes. In training classes, explain how the standardized steps of the role lead to one or more of these emotional outcomes. Also explain where, how, and why employees are expected to use their discretion to create these outcomes. Hold managers accountable for their employees' responses to the Q12 items presented in Chapter 1. Employees' responses to these 12 items are a very important outcome measure. Although we would not advise paying managers based on their employees' responses, managers should use the 12 items as part of their overall performance scorecard. B. Value world-class performance in every role. At strong companies, every role performed at excellence is respected. If you want to understand a company's culture, look first to its heroes. In as many roles as possible, set up different levels of achievement. Identify specific criteria for moving from one level to the next. Reward progress with plaques, certificates, and diplomas. Take every level seriously. In as many roles as possible, set up broad-banded compensation plans. Identify specific criteria for moving up within each band. Clearly explain the reason for the pay differences when shifting from one band to another. Celebrate personal bests. Many people like to compete with themselves. Design a system so that each person can keep track of his or her monthly or quarterly performance. Use this system to celebrate personal bests when they occur. A growing number of personal bests means a growing company. C. Study your best. Strong companies learn from their very best. Internal best practice discovery is one of their most important rituals. Start with your most significant roles and study your best practitioners. Build a talent profile for each role. This will help you select more people like your best. Revise all training to incorporate what you have learned about excellence in each role. Set up an internal university. The main function of this university should be to provide a forum for showcasing how your best in every role do what they do. As much as possible, every employee should be exposed to the thinking, the actions, and the satisfactions of your best in every role. Your employees can learn many other things at this university, policies, rules, techniques, but the main focus should be presenting internal best practices. This university can be as flexible, informal, and brief as the size and complexity of your organization requires. The important thing is to learn from your best in a disciplined way. D. Teach the language of great managers. Language affects thinking. Thinking affects behavior. Companies must change how people speak if they are to change how people behave. Strong companies turn the language of great managers into the common language. Teach the four keys of great managers. In particular, emphasize the difference among skills, knowledge, and talents. Make sure people know that all roles performed at excellence require talent. That a talent is any recurring pattern of thought, feeling, or behavior, and that talents are extraordinarily difficult to teach. Change recruiting practices, job descriptions, and resume qualifications to reflect the critical importance and the broader definition of talent. Revise all training content to reflect the differences among skills, knowledge, and talents. A great company is clear about what can be trained and what cannot. Remove the remedial element from training. Send your most talented people to learn new skills and knowledge that can complement their talents. Stop sending less talented people to training classes to be fixed. Give every employee the benefit of feedback. Know that 360-degree surveys, personality profiles, and performance appraisal systems are all useful as long as they are focused on helping the person understand himself better and build on his strengths. Stop using them if they are focused on identifying what needs to be fixed. Start the great manager's performance management routine. These master keys, although not a substitute for great managers, are a valuable companion. Left unturned, they allow conventional wisdom to create a hostile climate to great managers. With every policy, system, and language built around its core assumptions, conventional wisdom drowns out the small voices of dissent and forces each great manager to question even her most fervently held beliefs. In a climate like this, great managers cannot grow. They cannot refine their intuitions with practice. They are too busy trying to stay clear-headed and to survive. However, when turned successfully, these master keys alter the whole company climate. The climate becomes supportive to great managers, reinforcing their insights and pushing them to practice, experiment, and refine. In this climate, great managers will thrive. Employees will excel. The company will sustain its growth, and conventional wisdom will be uprooted once and for all. Gathering force. Great managers make it all seem so simple. Just select for talent, define the right outcomes, focus on strengths, and then, as each person grows, encourage him or her to find the right fit. Complete these few steps with every single employee, and your department, division, or company will yield perennial excellence. It sounds almost inevitable. We know, just as you do, that it isn't. It is very hard to manage others well. The essence of the role is the struggle to balance the competing interests of the company, the customers, the employees, and even your own. You attend to one, and you invariably upset the others. If you have just intervened between a rude customer and a stammering employee, it is hard to find the right words to placate the customer and yet save face for the employee. If you have just assumed responsibility for a team of 30 jaded veterans, it is hard to know how to gain their trust while still pushing them to perform. If you have just realized that the new employee whom you so carefully selected does not, in fact, have the talent to perform, it is hard to know how to break the news without demoralizing him and alarming his colleagues. No matter which way you spin it, it's hard being the middleman. This book doesn't offer to make your role easy. It simply offers you a vantage point. It offers you a way to gain a clearer perspective on what you are doing, why you are doing it, and how to do it better. This perspective won't tell you what to do in every situation, but it will guide you towards sound action. It will help you know how to start laying the foundations for an enduringly strong workplace. We cannot promise miracles overnight, and you wouldn't believe us if we did. You know that at work tomorrow, you are going to see a lot of people cast in the wrong roles. You know that you are going to see many managers marching in lockstep with conventional wisdom. And you know the limits of what you can change on your own. You know that you will only be able to change things one employee at a time, conversation by conversation. Like all great managers, you are at the start of a long journey. We can only promise that these four keys are an extraordinarily powerful beginning. On your journey, take strength from this. As you chip away at conventional wisdom, you are being aided by the gathering of two powerful forces. The needs of the company and the needs of the employee, misaligned since the birth of the corporation 150 years ago, are slowly beginning to converge. Today, you, the manager, find yourself at their meeting point. Everywhere, employees are demanding more of their work. With the breakdown of other sources of community, employees are looking more and more to their workplace to provide them with a sense of meaning and identity. They want to be recognized as individuals. They want a chance to express themselves and to gain meaningful prestige for that expression. Only you, the manager, can create the kind of environment where each person comes to know his or her strengths and expresses them productively. At the same time, companies are searching for undiscovered reserves of value. Human nature is one of those last, vast reserves of value. If they are to increase their value, companies know they must tap these reserves. In the past, they have tried to access the power of human nature by containing it and perfecting it, just as mankind has done with other forces of nature. We know why this cannot work. The power of human nature is that, unlike other forces of nature, it is not uniform. Instead, its power lies in its idiosyncrasy, in the fact that each human's nature is different. If companies want to use this power, they must find a mechanism to unleash each human's nature, not contain it. You, the manager, are the best mechanism they have. The intersection of these two forces, each company's search for value and each individual's search for identity, will change the corporate landscape forever. You will see new organizational models, new titles, new compensation schemes, new careers, and new measurement systems, all designed around the mantra, don't try to put in what was left out, try to draw out what was left in. Some managers may try to resist these forces of change, but they will fail. A company's search for value is as unending and as irresistible as an individual's search for identity. You can slow these gathering forces down. You cannot stop them. But you can speed them up. You can be the catalyst. The world's best managers have shown you how. Appendices. Appendix A, the Gallup Path to Business Performance. Appendix B, what the great managers said. Appendix C, a selection of talents. Appendix D, finding the Q12 items. Appendix E, the meta-analysis. Appendix A, the Gallup Path to Business Performance. What is the path to sustained increase in shareholder value? Through research examining the linkages between key elements of a healthy business, Gallup has developed a model that describes the path between the individual contribution of every employee and the ultimate business outcome of any company, an increase in overall company value. For publicly traded companies, this is, of course, best measured by increase in stock price and market valuation. A schematic of the path would begin with identify strengths and move to the right fit, great managers, the Q12 factors, engaged employees, loyal customers, sustainable growth, real profit increase, stock increase. You can find this path charted in the bonus material. Real profit increase drives stock increase. Many variables influence the market value of a company, including external variables beyond a company's control. But of the variables a company can control, real profit increase is the most important driver of stock increase. We emphasize real because there are many maneuvers a company can take to drive short-term profitability. Some are solid operational initiatives, such as improving process efficiency or cutting costs. Others are generously described as creative accounting, such as write-downs, aggressive one-time charges, or forcing orders for products at the end of a period to overstate revenue. However, only sustained profit increase from normal operations can drive a sustained increase in stock value. Sustainable growth drives real profit increase. Real profit increase can only be driven by sustainable growth. Sustainable growth is quite different from bought growth. A company can buy growth through a variety of techniques, acquiring another company's revenue stream, slashing prices, Or, a perennial favorite among fast-growing restaurant or retail chains, opening as many new locations as possible as quickly as possible. All of these techniques create a welcome spike in revenue, but none of them addresses the issue of sustaining that revenue. In fact, some of them actively undermine it. Sustainable growth is not measured by a short-lived revenue spike. Rather, sustainable growth is measured by metrics such as revenue per store, revenue per product, or number of services used per customer. These metrics reveal whether or not your revenue stream is robust and whether it will last. Loyal customers drive sustainable growth. The most critical driver of sustainable growth is an expanding base of loyal customers. In some industries, it is also critical to have a growing base of loyal customers who are willing to pay a premium price. It is even better if these loyal customers become advocates, thereby creating a large, vocal, and unpaid sales force. Customers can be persuaded to try a product or service through effective sales and marketing communications. But true customer loyalty can be created only by treating customers to a superior product and superior service. At Gallup, we refer to the sales and marketing communications as the brand promise, and the quality of the products and services as the brand experience. A company will be able to create a growing number of loyal customers only if its brand experience matches or exceeds its brand promise. Engaged employees drive customer loyalty. Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, once said, "Any company trying to compete must figure out a way to engage the mind of every employee." This is especially true in service industries, where nearly all of the company's value is delivered to customers by individual employees. But even in pure manufacturing environments, quality products are unlikely to be produced without engaged and committed employees. The 12 circles in the PATH schematic refer to the Q12 items described in Chapter 1. An engaged employee, by our definition, is one who can answer with a strong affirmative to a critical mass of those 12 items. Remember the four outcome measures we used in our meta-analysis at the business unit level were employee retention, productivity, customer satisfaction, and profitability. While the schematic illustrates only the link between engaged employees and customer loyalty, there are often very direct links between an increase in the number of engaged employees and profit, either indirectly through an increase in productivity or directly through major decreases in employee turnover. The right people in the right roles with the right managers drive employee engagement. At the entry point of the path, the first steps must be performed almost perfectly, or the remaining linkages to customer satisfaction, revenue growth, and profit will not occur. First, you must identify the employee's individual strengths. In step two, you must position that individual to perform a role that capitalizes on these strengths. Failure to meet these two requirements cannot be corrected by either the employee's motivation or by expert coaching. As this book describes in some detail, when we refer to strengths, we are referring primarily to a person's recurring patterns of thought, feeling, or behavior, his talents, and less to learned skills and acquired knowledge. We believe that when selecting employees, companies have spent far too much time and money focusing on the skills and knowledge of employees and not nearly enough on their talents. Truth be told, most companies trip themselves up right at the start of this path because they have no accurate way of knowing how much talent they are bringing in, nor how well that talent is positioned. Having successfully taken these first two steps, you arrive at the path's most critical juncture. Companies must find a way to engage these talented employees. Again, there are many ways to do this. Pay them more, provide more generous benefits, But these are low-character solutions. The only way to engage talented employees successfully is to select great managers and then provide those managers with a climate that is friendly to the four keys. In this climate, great managers can select the best people, set accurate expectations for them, motivate them, and develop them. Every single employee's talent will be released into customer-focused performance. The company will become strong. The company that is unable to take this step will be forced off the path. They will lose more talented people than they keep. They will miscast, overpromote, undervalue, and otherwise misuse those talented employees who do stay. Lacking talented people in the right roles, this company will have to revert to less robust routes to performance, an over-reliance on marketing, an unquestioned fondness for acquisition, or a frantic push for bought growth. Pressed by high-character competition, these routes will serve the company poorly, and in the end, lacking great managers to keep it on the right path, this company will lose. Appendix B, What the Great Managers Said. What did great managers say to the three questions quoted in Chapter 2? As a manager, which would you rather have? An independent, aggressive person who produced $1.2 million in sales, or a congenial team player who produced about half as much? Please explain your choice. Great managers replied that they would prefer an independent, aggressive person rather than the half as productive team player. They reasoned that the independent, aggressive person was probably more talented but harder to manage. The team player was probably less talented for the role, but much easier to manage. Great managers are not looking for people who are easy to manage. They are looking for people who have the talent to be world class. Therefore, they prefer the challenge of taking a talented person and focusing him or her toward productivity to the challenge of trying to make a less productive person talented. You have an extremely productive employee who consistently fouls up the paperwork. How would you work with this person to help him or her be more productive? Great managers would find out why this employee is fouling up the paperwork. Perhaps she is new to the role. Perhaps she could benefit from some training. But if they find out that the problem is lack of talent for paperwork, they will work to find a solution that enables the employee to manage around her weakness for administration and focus on her productivity instead. You have two managers. One has the best talent for management you have ever seen. The other is mediocre. There are two openings available. The first is a high-performing territory. The second is a territory that is struggling. Neither territory has yet reached its potential. Where would you recommend the excellent manager be placed? Why? Great managers would always place the most talented manager in the higher performing territory. The key phrase in the question is, neither territory has yet reached its potential. Great managers use excellence as their measure. They know that only the talented manager working in the higher performing territory has a chance to help that territory reach its true potential. Taking that territory to excellence is just as much of a challenge for the talented manager as is moving the struggling territory up above average. Furthermore, the former is much more fun and much more productive. With the talented manager positioned in the higher performing territory, great managers say they would then remove the poor manager and select a talented turnaround expert to fix the lower performing territory. To those who would do the opposite, great managers offer this cautionary word. Your less talented manager will never make the most of the higher performing territory, and the lower performing territory may well defeat your talented manager. In this case, with the best of intentions, you have set up two people to fail and halved your productivity. Appendix C, a selection of talents. Which talents are found most frequently across all roles? During our research, Gallup has had the opportunity to study excellence in hundreds of distinct roles. The talents needed to excel in these roles vary greatly. Since the original publication of this book, Gallup has conducted many iterations of research on the talents of great managers and many other jobs. The historical research on striving, thinking, and relating talents has been updated, adjusted, and used to develop the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment, which measures 34 talent themes. These themes can be grouped into four categories or strengths domains: executing, influencing, relationship building, and strategic thinking. Definitions of the four domains and how the 34 StrengthsFinder themes sort into the domains follows. This book includes an access code to take the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment. You can find the code inside the packaging. Knowing where your top themes fall within these domains can shed light on how you contribute to groups or teams by describing how you make things happen, influence others, build relationships, and process information. The strengths domains offer another way for you to think about how your talents affect others. Managers can plot the talent themes of their team members into the strengths domains to see how the collective talents of the team sort into these categories. This gives managers another perspective as they position people to do their best work based on their natural talents. Understanding the theme dynamics of the team and forging complementary partnerships empowers managers to create stronger and more productive teams. The strengths domains. Executing. People with dominant strength in the executing domain know how to make things happen. When you need someone to implement a solution, these people will work tirelessly to get it done. Executing themes. Achiever. People exceptionally talented in the achiever theme work hard and possess a great deal of stamina. They take immense satisfaction in being busy and productive. Arranger. People exceptionally talented in the arranger theme can organize, but they also have a flexibility that complements this ability. They like to determine how all of the pieces and resources can be arranged for maximum productivity. Belief. People exceptionally talented in the belief theme have certain core values that are unchanging. Out of these values emerges a defined purpose for their lives. Consistency. People exceptionally talented in the consistency theme are keenly aware of the need to treat people the same. They try to treat everyone with equality by setting up clear rules and adhering to them. Deliberative. People exceptionally talented in the deliberative theme are best described by the serious care they take in making decisions or choices. They anticipate obstacles. Discipline. People exceptionally talented in the discipline theme enjoy routine and structure. Their world is best described by the order they create. Focus. People exceptionally talented in the focus theme can take a direction, follow through, and make the corrections necessary to stay on track. They prioritize, then act. Responsibility. People exceptionally talented in the responsibility theme take psychological ownership of what they say they will do. They are committed to stable values such as honesty and loyalty. Restorative. People exceptionally talented in the restorative theme are adept at dealing with problems. They are good at figuring out what is wrong and resolving it. Influencing. People with dominant strength in the influencing domain help their team reach a much broader audience. They want to take charge, speak up, and make sure that the group is heard. Influencing themes. Activator. People exceptionally talented in the activator theme can make things happen by turning thoughts into action. They are often impatient. Command. People exceptionally talented in the command theme have presence. They can take control of a situation and make decisions. Communication. People exceptionally talented in the communication theme generally find it easier to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. Competition. People exceptionally talented in the competition theme measure their progress against the performance of others. They strive to win first place and revel in contests. Maximizer. People exceptionally talented in the maximizer theme focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb. Self-assurance. People exceptionally talented in the self-assurance theme feel confident in their ability to manage their own lives. They possess an inner compass that gives them confidence that their decisions are right. Significance. People exceptionally talented in the significance theme want to be very important in others' eyes. They are independent and want to be recognized. Woo. People exceptionally talented in the woo theme love the challenge of meeting new people and winning them over. They derive satisfaction from breaking the ice and making a connection with someone. Relationship building. People with dominant strength in the relationship building domain are the essential glue that holds a team together. They can create groups that are much greater than the sum of their parts. Relationship building themes. Adaptability. People exceptionally talented in the adaptability theme prefer to go with the flow. They tend to be now people who take things as they come and discover the future one day at a time. Connectedness. People exceptionally talented in the connectedness theme have faith in the links among all things. They believe there are few coincidences and that almost every event has meaning. Developer. People exceptionally talented in the developer theme recognize and cultivate the potential in others. They spot the signs of each small improvement and derive satisfaction from evidence of progress. Empathy. People exceptionally talented in the empathy theme can sense other people's feelings by imagining themselves in others' lives or situations. Harmony. People exceptionally talented in the harmony theme look for consensus. They don't enjoy conflict. Rather, they seek areas of agreement. Includer. People exceptionally talented in the includer theme accept others. They show awareness of those who feel left out and make an effort to include them. Individualization. People exceptionally talented in the individualization theme are intrigued with the unique qualities of each person. They have a gift for figuring out how different people can work together productively. Positivity. People exceptionally talented in the positivity theme have contagious enthusiasm. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do. Relator. People exceptionally talented in the relator theme enjoy close relationships with others. They find deep satisfaction in working hard with friends to achieve a goal. Strategic thinking. People with dominant strength in the strategic thinking domain keep everyone focused on what could be. They are constantly absorbing and analyzing information and helping the team make better decisions. Strategic thinking themes. Analytical. People exceptionally talented in the analytical theme search for reasons and causes. They have the ability to think about all the factors that might affect a situation. Context. People exceptionally talented in the context theme enjoy thinking about the past. They understand the present by researching its history. Futuristic. People exceptionally talented in the futuristic theme are inspired by the future and what could be. They energize others with their visions of the future. Ideation. People exceptionally talented in the ideation theme are fascinated by ideas. They are able to find connections between seemingly disparate phenomena. Input. People exceptionally talented in the input theme have a craving to know more. Often they like to collect and archive all kinds of information. Intellection. People exceptionally talented in the intellection theme are characterized by their intellectual activity. They are introspective and appreciate intellectual discussions. Learner. People exceptionally talented in the learner theme have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. The process of learning, rather than the outcome, excites them. Strategic. People exceptionally talented in the strategic theme create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. Appendix D, Finding the Q12 Items. How did Gallup find the Q12 items? We began with focus groups. Each focus group included employees from each company's most productive departments. An occupational psychologist from Gallup conducted the focus groups, asking open-ended questions about the workplace. Each focus group was tape-recorded. Over the last several decades, Gallup has conducted thousands of such focus groups. From these focus groups, we developed lengthy surveys, including question items on all aspects of the employees' work experiences. We administered these surveys to more than 1 million employees. After each study, we performed analyses to identify the factors within the data. 5 factors consistently emerged. 1. Work environment / procedures. This factor addressed issues relating to the physical work environment, such as safety, cleanliness, pay, benefits, and policies. 2. Immediate supervisor. This factor addressed issues relating to the behavior of the employee's immediate supervisor, such as selection, recognition, development, trust, understanding, and discipline. 3. Team/coworkers. This factor addressed issues relating to the employee's perceptions of their team members, such as cooperation, shared goals, communication, and trust. 4. Overall company/senior management. This factor addressed issues relating to company initiatives and leaders, such as the employee's faith in the company's mission and strategy, or in the competence of the leaders themselves. 5. Individual commitment/service intention. This factor addressed issues relating to the employee's sense of their own commitment to the company and to the customers, such as the employee's pride in the company, likelihood to recommend the company to friends as a place to work, likelihood to stay with the company for their whole career, and desire to provide excellent service to customers. Although we found other sub-factors like communication or development, these 5 major factors explain virtually all of the variance in the data. And of the 5 major factors, by far the most powerful is the immediate supervisor factor. It explains a disproportionately large percentage of the variance in the data. Following this factor analysis, we performed various regression analyses on the data to identify some of the most powerful question items in the data set. During these analyses, we used 3 dependent variables: rating of overall satisfaction, the 5 best question items from the individual commitment factor, and the performance outcomes of the business units. Before selecting the final list of 12 question items, we added a final criterion: The items had to be simple and easy to affect. They had to be actionable items, not emotional outcome items like, overall, how satisfied are you with your work environment, or are you proud to be working for your company? Having identified the 12 most powerful items, we then subjected them to rigorous confirmatory analyses. The meta-analysis presented in the book was one such study. This study is described in detail in Appendix E, which can be found in the bonus material. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of First, Break All the Rules, What the World's Greatest Managers Do Differently, by Marcus Buckingham and Kurt Kaufman, performed by Mel Foster. Performance copyright 2016 by Brilliance Audio, all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.